We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This is Ryan Archidam, Nashgau to the Bulls HQ podcast, all the way from Australia. We represent, and thanks for all the support.
Fans, welcome to Bulls HQ, a Chicago Bulls podcast on the Blue Wire Sports Podcasting Network. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Bulls HQ. Boy, oh boy, what a day, Bulls fans. I'm just coming at you, well, 7:16 a.m. my time right now, which is, I think, equivalent to about 3:15, something like that on East Coast time, something like that. I haven't done my time zone conversion. My brain isn't really working right now, in part because this trade deadline was absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. But further to that, I have been up for a number of hours. If you haven't worked out by now based on my accent, but I'm based in Australia. The trade deadline for me, like the deadline of the time, was about 6 a.m. my time, but, you know, in lieu of that, or up to that point, I've been awake since about 3 a.m. following this, and, you know, not to paint a too graphic of a picture for you all, but for me, I wasn't really sleeping well because I knew there was going to be some sort of action. I didn't know if the Bulls were going to be involved, but just as a general NBA fan, the trade deadline occurring and things happening and Woj tweeting whilst I'm sleeping, like, I can't really sleep during that point. So I'm up during the night, multiple times during the night, checking my phone, seeing if anything's happened. Nothing had happened a few times that I checked before. You know, got up at 11:30, nothing happened. Got up at about 1:30, nothing had happened. Got up around 3:20-ish, had to go to the toilet, had to hang a leak. I thought while I'm doing that, you know, two birds, one stone. Let's check with the other hand what's going on Twitter. And boy, oh boy, when I flicked over Twitter and checked what was happening, my God, I awoke to some news basically, and that news was that the Bulls had made a huge, massive trading for Nikola Vucevic, and effectively sending out Wendell Carter Jr. and Otto Porter Jr. and a couple picks for Vucevic, Al-Farouq Aminu included in that deal as well as a bit of a salary filler. But man, oh man, what a move! I mean, I was hopeful of something like this happening. I wasn't expecting it, to be honest with you. But after the terrible Cavs game from, you know, effectively 24 hours before, the Bulls needed to do something at the deadline. If you've been listening to this show You know how I felt about it. I wanted to see this team maximize Zach LaVine's prime. I wanted to see this team make some moves for players who could impact winning as soon as possible. So from that standpoint, like, I mean, Nikola Vucevic, he was literally just in the All-Star game with Zach LaVine. Yes, he's 30 years of age. I wish he was probably 2 or 3 years younger. He's still a very good player, still very much in his prime. Putting up 25 points, 11 rebounds and 4 assists this season, I mean, that's the caliber of player the Bulls are getting through right now. So whilst I'm sad to see my boy Wendell go, I mean, at the same time, the Bulls got absolutely better. The Bulls are better right now. They've done the things I asked them to do, what I was asking AK to do, what I was kind of fearing that they wouldn't necessarily do, to be honest. If you thought they might go the other way after seeing the team sort of stumbling the way they have been over the last few weeks, maybe they look to trade off the veteran players and maybe go in for a mini rebuild again, or a reboot of the rebuild, as I've been saying. But that isn't the case. AK very clearly has made it. He's made it very clear to everyone who's paying attention that the Bulls are not going back to the draft. And I mean, part of that is one, that the trade for Vucevic, an all-star guy to put next to Zach LaVine. But as part of the deal, that's the Vucevic deal, they've traded 2 first-round picks in that trade. So 2021 first-round draft pick, and as well as a 2023 first-round draft pick, they go to the Orlando Magic as part of the deal. Very key point to note in that is the fact that those 2 picks are both top 4 protected, so worst case scenario, if for whatever reason the Bulls miss the playoffs, miss the play-in, they're still in part of the lottery, they could get some lottery luck and maybe jump up from like 12th into that top 4, similarly to how the Lakers did it a few years ago when they jumped into the top 4 and enabled them to make the trade for Anthony Davis. So I'm certainly not banking on that lottery luck, but it's good to know that they're not unprotected picks, I guess is my point. So all in all, you know, despite Wendell going out, a guy that I believed in, still believe in, a little bit disappointed that he's gone to the Magic, a team that hasn't been great in developing talent and don't necessarily have a lot of guards to maybe support him. But nonetheless, from a Bulls standpoint, the Bulls are absolutely better today. They're going to be better for tomorrow. That deal is an absolute win in my book, and I'm very pleased, but it didn't stop there. And I guess that's the crazy part. Like, it didn't stop there, Bulls fans. I mean, not as big of a move, but to me, in my mind at least, a much better move, at least in terms of the way I think of it being as an obvious win. Not to say the Vucevic deal isn't an obvious win, not to say it's not like an A-level trade, but the Bulls also completed a 3-way trade, which essentially they sent out Luke Kornet, Daniel Gafford, and Chandler Hutchinson. Hutchinson and Daniel Gafford, they go to Washington. Luke Kornet and Mo Wagner go to the Celtics. And in for the Bulls comes Daniel Tice, Troy Brown Jr., Javonte Green, and a bit of cash considerations to line the pockets of the Dawes, which is something they always love. But, I mean, that deal in itself, that is such a great deal. And for a number of reasons. One, the Bulls get the best player in that deal, which is Daniel Tice right now. He's clearly the best player, the player who can impact the rotation the most right now. But they also get the best prospect in that deal, which is Troy Brown Jr. Now, if you're not familiar with Troy Brown Jr., he was the number 15 pick in the 2018 draft. Basically, has been shelved by the Wizards this season. I don't know what the reasoning for that is, but essentially he was playing 26 minutes a game last season, all the way down to 14 minutes a game this season. Maybe a large part of that is the fact that they drafted Denny Avdija, Rui Hachimura is there. They got a few other wing options that they were maybe running through there, but essentially Troy Brown Jr. was sort of on the outs in Washington, but he was the 15th pick in the 2018 draft. Last season, his sophomore season, averaged 10.4 points per game, 5.6 rebounds, 2.6 assists on 44, 34, and 78 shooting splits. So, I mean, this kid has some potential. And shout out to my guy, Morten Jensen. Like, he's been the main voice that I've seen online, at least banging the drum on Troy Brown Jr. is someone the Bulls should target, or not even just the Bulls, someone a lot of teams in the league should target, someone like Troy Brown Jr., because he's been sort of wasted in Washington, catching DNPs, not playing much in Washington for whatever reason. I have no idea why Scott Brooks would do that, but the Bulls have taken a shot on him, and I think that deal in itself, like, is such a good indicator as to maybe how we should feel about AK. And I look, up until yesterday, I didn't want to go into just thinking or having blind faith in Arturis Karnišovas. Like, I needed him to show me some moves before I completely bought into his vision as to what he was trying to do. And to be fair, it wasn't clear what his vision or what his plan was, because they haven't really done much. They hadn't really said much. But now it's very clear as to where this team is going, what the direction is. So I'm pleased to say, or I'm pleased to see even, this small move, whilst the headline move is Vucevic, like a move like this where the Bulls are involved in these smaller three-team deals where there's no household names being moved, but they walk out of that trade with the best player in the deal, which is Daniel Theis, but also a prospect like Troy Brown Jr., a wing that can sort of do a little bit of everything. Maybe he doesn't project to be a star, but projects to be a really nice role player. That deal is what really excites me today, and maybe that's ridiculous of me, maybe that's just complete basketball nerd minutia sort of bullshit, but I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gives you a good indication as to the competitive advantage of your front office versus other front offices, let's say. So in isolation, this move is awesome, because when you sort of couple it with what we saw with the Vucevic deal, I mean, the Bulls sent out Wendell Carter Jr., their 2018 draft pick, the number 7th overall pick. Clearly, Wendell didn't project or perform the way I thought he was going to. Maybe there's still time for Wendell to do that, but it didn't work out in Chicago. He needed a change of scenery. What the Bulls have done here, like, they've sort of kept themselves in that 2018 draft by taking a swing on a player that was taken, you know, 8 spots after Wendell, who also needed a change of scenery, and who may end up having a better career in Chicago than the one he was ultimately going to have in Washington. So it's kind of 2 birds, 1 stone in that sense. Like, you get a prospect, a young wing. This team needed more wings. But you also get to keep your hand in that 2018 draft by bringing in Troy Brown Jr. You're sort of supplementing him with Wendell. So not only are you sort of replacing Wendell as a backup center with Daniel Theis, you're obviously getting that starting center with Vucevic, but you're still getting a prospect from that draft to take a punt on him, essentially, and to see if you can get something out of that player. And maybe Troy Brown Jr. in Chicago can sort of rekindle some of those glimpses that we saw from him in his sophomore season, which suggested he could be a very capable and good role player. So again, it's minutia stuff, it's small stuff, it's kind of ridiculous that I would focus this amount of time on that small trade, given that there wasn't a huge name in that deal. But I mean, like, couple that move with the Vucevic deal, very good indication to me as to, you know, what the Bulls are doing, what AK is thinking, how he's sort of planning ahead, and what, you know, the type of faith that we can put in him now, because now we've seen some legit overhauling of the roster. Like, previous to this, he didn't really do much. I mean, his main moves were drafting Patrick Williams, signing Billy Donovan, signing Garrett Temple. Admittedly, all three good moves, but it wasn't much. I mean, the roster remained largely in place. AK hasn't necessarily said a whole lot himself, so you're kind of wondering, like, where was this thing going to go? But like I said, now we know. We've got 2 all-stars. Nikola Vucevic is next to Zach LaVine. Their pairing makes so much sense. If you just think about, like, the player that Vucevic is, I mean, a great option to put on the block. He has a back-to-the-basket game. He's a fantastic passer. He can pass out of the block. If you want to play post-up basketball, you can. If you want to feed your shooters out from the post, you can with Nikola Vucevic. The way the Bulls have been doing that with Thad Young, you can do the exact same thing with Vucevic, potentially even at a higher level, to be honest, if you're given that Vucevic is such an offensive threat. Like I said before, 24, 25 points a game this season. Huge offensive threat. But more than that, I mean, Vucevic can be used as a high post option as well. The same way the Bulls have been using Thad Young in that short role, where you set a screen for Zach LaVine, that screen option sort of rolls to the free throw line and receives that short roll pass, and then, you know, makes a play from there for others. That passing option, that passing hub from the high post, again, you can use Vucevic as that option. But maybe more importantly, and something the Bulls haven't necessarily had next to Zach LaVine, is they can now use their screener, which will be Vucevic a lot of the time, as a pick-and-pop option. So, you know, he can set that screen for Zach LaVine. He can roll into the lane. He can roll into a post-up. But importantly, what he can also do now is sort of flare out and pop out as a shooting option for Zach LaVine as well. So the combination between LaVine and Vucevic on offense is going to be absolutely deadly. I don't want to go overboard and, you know, draw comparisons to Denver, because clearly clearly Nikola Vucevic isn't as good as Nikola Jokic. But if you just think of the archetype of player, an offensive big that can do a little bit of everything, clearly Vucevic isn't the passer that Jokic is, but he is still a good passer for his size. Like I said, averaging just under 4 assists per game this season. And then you sort of start thinking about Zach LaVine, his comparison to Jamal Murray. Like, in my mind, it kind of feels like AK is now kind of trying to build an East Coast version of the Nuggets. Again, obviously not a direct comparison. Clearly Vucevic isn't as good as Jokic, but Vucevic is probably a top 5 center in the NBA, depending on where you classify someone like Anthony Davis, for example. Maybe even Bam as well. Like, is he a power forward? Is he a center? But, you know, ultimately what he is an all-star center. He's a guy that's given you 25, 11, and 4. And now if you compare that guy with Zach LaVine, who have waxed poetic on this podcast about how good his offensive game has been this season, the fact is that he's been a historic offensive player this season, and you put him next to a guy like Vucevic, I mean, where can Zach LaVine's offensive game go from here? There's another level to go from here, Bulls fans, because if he's been this good next to Thad Young as his second best guy, like, how good can he be next to someone like Vucevic? So this is legit. This is a legit move. The offense is going to look sick. It is going to be. There's so many more options on offense right now. There's maybe some concerns from a defensive standpoint. I mean, Vucevic isn't the world's best defender. If you didn't love the drop coverage before, then you're probably not going to love it going forward, because with a big plotting center like Vucevic, you can't expect him to be trapping out high or showing out high, hedging out high. Like, you're not getting that type of defense from Vucevic. You're getting a drop defense, which is fine. I think that can work. But what you need to put someone like a Vucevic, or the type of player you need to put next to a center like Vucevic, someone that is very much an offensively gifted one, but maybe not so gifted on defense, is a big athletic four that can cover up his mistakes, that can switch out high, can roll back, protect the paint. And guess what, Bulls fans? You have that in Thad Young. You have that in Patrick Williams. And to continue that archetype of where, you know, that comparison between Denver and Chicago, like, if you think about those previous Nuggets teams that had Paul Millsap next to Jokic, that had Jeremy Grant next to Jokic, I mean, Thad and Patrick Williams, they're not exact facsimiles to Jeremy Grant and to Paul Millsap, but they're pretty close. They're pretty close. So in terms of that thinking, Thad Young right now is a really nice power forward option next to Vucevic. For the long term, you know, I've talked about it before, but I think Patrick Williams is a power forward, and who better to put next to someone like Vucevic than what Patrick Williams projects to be as a power forward? And, you know, similarly thinking about that, I mean, the passing that the Bulls now have in the front court with Vucevic and Thad Young, we're sort of starting to see the off-ball game that someone like Patrick Williams has, the way he's cutting off ball, the way he's moving off ball, like, that just continues with someone like Vucevic and obviously Thad Young. So from an offensive standpoint, I'm really excited about this move. This is a huge move. I think this is going to work wonders for LaVine. It's going to be huge for someone like Patrick Williams. So I don't know how else I can say it, but to say that I'm very pleased with what the Bulls have done from the deadline, or in the deadline thus far. That isn't to say the Bulls had a perfect deadline, and I say that because I was expecting a Lauri Markkanen trade, and even more so after acquiring someone like Nikola Vucevic. Like, I mean, like, the pairing of Markkanen and Vucevic together is very problematic. I'm very interested to see how Donovan manages his rotation, who's going to start now going forward. That's going to be an interesting side topic to all this, and one that you guys know that, you know, coaching and rotations, the way that's sort of juggled, like, that's a fascination for me. That's something that that's what I keenly watch during games. Like, how is the coach managing rotations for whatever reason? That's something that I gravitate towards for whatever reason. But how Donovan manages that now going forward, it's going to be very, very interesting. But I'm a little disappointed because, you know, I don't want to take the shine off what the Bulls did. The moves that the Bulls did make were absolute home runs, steals, A-plus type moves in my mind, at least. I know there'll be some critics out there that, you know, it wasn't a move that maybe vaults this team from a low playoff rung team to a legit contender. If you were expecting that or hopeful of that, then I don't know why you were, because that was never really realistic at all. So, you know, I'm only going to grade them on what was realistically attainable. So the moves that they did make were absolutely fantastic, but at the same time, like, I'm not alone in thinking, you know, why is Larry Markkanen still here? I don't understand. Clearly a restricted free agent. Doesn't really fit with Vucevic. Don't know if he's here for the long haul for the ball. I don't think he should be. He's kind of redundant now that you have Vucevic. I mean, what is Larry going to be doing? Like, spotting up in the corner and being used up, you being used as a space option? You know, it doesn't really make sense. So clearly they couldn't find a deal for Lowry. I was hopeful that maybe could swing Lowry for Lonzo. I mean, everyone was. There was rumors that, you know, the Bulls were very much into Lonzo. Clearly, for whatever reason, the deal didn't happen. Maybe it was the Pelicans just didn't really like Lowry, which I completely understand. And maybe if they wanted to take on Lowry, that they were just asking too much back. And in that case, if that is the case, that they wanted Lowry plus a pick or two or something else, then, you know, why do that deal? Because when you can go out in free agency and maybe just go get Lonzo for free, so to speak, I mean, maybe it just made more, from a pure asset management point of view, maybe it makes more sense to wait to do that in the offseason. I doubt a sign and trade will happen between both teams, particularly now that, you know, Lowry has an open market to so many other teams that could potentially be interested in him. Like, for example, the San Antonio Spurs, if they want Lowry, they offer Lowry a restricted free agent offer sheet. You can't necessarily trade him to the Pelicans in a sign and trade because he doesn't necessarily want to go there. So I'm not expecting a Lonzo for Lowry restricted free agent sign and trade type thing to materialize. Maybe it happens for another player, but the Bulls can still go out there and get Lonzo. But I was hopeful that that deal was going to happen today, because if you look at the roster right now and the rotation today, whilst it's certainly much different, certainly a lot better than I think what it was, it's still probably not ideal. Because, I mean, in the backcourt's the same. You got Satoransky and Levine starting at point guard and shooting guard. You got Kobe White coming off the bench. Denzel Valentine backing up those guys. Patrick Williams is starting at small forward. Clearly Otto Porter is gone now, so Garrett Temple becomes more important there. Obviously, Troy Brown Jr. comes in, but you look up front, you've got Larry Markkanen and Thad Young at power forward. You've got Vucevic and Daniel Tyus at center. I'm assuming Cristiano Felicio, I don't know why he's still here. I mean, what's the point at this point? The only reason you would keep Felicio was to include him in a trade, just due to the fact that his $7.5 million expiring deal could net you back $10 million from an incoming salary, but clearly they didn't trade Felicio, so why is he here? Let's waive him, AK. Let's bring in some sort of young project and someone that we can actually maybe develop and take a shot on. Felicio, like, there's no point of having him now. I'll always appreciate Felicio for stealing $32 million from the Reinsdorf. He will always have my love for that reason. But from a pure basketball standpoint, like, let's get rid of him. He doesn't belong here. Al-Farouq Aminu, he's not going to be playing much for the Bulls. He's not really good anymore. He was just included in that deal as a salary filler. But beyond that, I mean, if you look at the front court, like, what's the next step? Because one of Larry Markkanen or Thad Young really should be one of those guys really needs to be turned into a guard. And we all wanted Lonzo. If it wasn't Lonzo, maybe it was someone like Malcolm Brogdon, who was rumored to be available potentially this week. Clearly didn't obviously get traded. But what are the Bulls' next moves here? Maybe I was being a little bit jealous. Not jealous, but a little bit wanting of more. Maybe I just got a little bit addicted to the fact that the Bulls were actually making moves and thought or was convinced that they would be able to swing a deal for some Lonzo. I mean, they came out of nowhere to get Vucevic, so why the hell could they not land a deal for Lonzo, given that was the actual rumor that they were connected to? So I was kind of disappointed that we didn't see a swap of Lowry for Lonzo. Like, that would have just topped off the day. If you could have added Lonzo to Zach and to Vucevic, I mean, I've just talked about the connection and the possibility that you have from an offensive standpoint between Levine and Vucevic, but if you add in Lonzo to that, and you don't necessarily need Lonzo to be a pure point guard because he isn't necessarily that, but just to have another smart player on there that can keep the ball moving, connect the offense, you know, in transition or even in the half court, like, I mean, it would have been so good. It would have been so good. But nonetheless, maybe that plays itself out in the offseason. So that would just be my one critique of what happened at the deadline. But I guess you don't know what was available. If the Pelicans were asking an arm and a leg for Lonzo Ball, who's a restricted free agent in the offseason, someone who you potentially can go and sign, depending on how you sort of manage your cap space going forward in the offseason, then maybe it makes sense to just not make the deal now. Yes, it means that you have to sort of have Lowry sort of hang around for the next 28, 30 games. His fit with Vucevic probably isn't ideal. You would have rather, you know, turn him into a guard like Lonzo, but maybe we just need to wait on that. And you can't necessarily solve all your problems at once. That's me trying to be rational about it, but at the same time, I'd be lying if I wasn't disappointed that Lonzo isn't a Bull. And, you know, I'd probably be even more disappointed, to be honest with you, that Lowry is still a Bull, because I just don't think his future's here in Chicago. Particularly on the roster now, like, he's kind of redundant with someone like Vucevic, who is an offensive-minded center. Like, you don't necessarily need an offensive-minded power forward like Lowry as well, a limited power forward like Lowry. So I'm assuming Lowry's days in Chicago are still numbered. Didn't happen at the trade deadline, but I'm assuming that will be the case. You know, in the offseason, I'm assuming Lowry's elsewhere or going elsewhere, but obviously we'll wait and see how that plays out. But like I said, how this rotation figures itself out now is going to be very interesting. You still got that dynamic up front as to who is going to be starting. Now, clearly, we have to assume all-star Nikola Vucevic is going to be starting for the Chicago Bulls. I mean, surely that's the case. So, if that happens, like, who's starting for the Bulls at power forward? Is it Lauri Markkanen, the restricted free agent, who maybe not, this team isn't committed to long-term? I don't know what the answer to that is. I hope they're not, but, like, do you really need to be playing Lauri Markkanen in big minutes now, given that he's a limited role player? You don't necessarily need to showcase him before the trade deadline, now that the deadline's passed. Like, what are we doing here? Like, if Lowry is not the best power forward option, he's not better than Thad Young, why are we starting Lauri Markkanen? Moreover, like, Lowry fits really nicely with someone like Daniel Tice, and Tice is coming off the bench, and someone like Thad Young fits really nicely with Vucevic, so in my mind, like, you have to start Thad Young and Vucevic, but I just wonder if there's going to be some politics at play here. I don't know, but to me, I'm really hoping that the Bulls make the call. If Thad Young starts at power forward, Lowry comes off the bench, and then you keep Patrick Williams in at three. If you really wanted to get funky, you can play some lineups with Patrick Williams and Troy Brown Jr. out there. Like, that would be interesting, a two wing lineup. That's nice. I like that. I like to look at that, and particularly with Troy Brown Jr., like, he has some playmaking chops as well, so that's interesting to me. But I think going forward over the next few days, particularly as Vucevic joins the team gets used to and accustomed to itself, and how Billy Donovan massages the rotation, I'm really hopeful, or not hopeful, but yeah, I'm intrigued as to what happens with Lowry versus Thad. And look, for me, clearly the right decision is starting Thad Young. There's just too much of an overlap between Markkanen and Vucevic, and to be honest with you, like, a Markkanen and Vucevic defensive pairing would just be absolutely terrible. So get Lowry to the bench, I guess, is my point. And, you know, I don't think he's part of the long-term future, so why gift him a starting spot when Thad is clearly better? At least that's my perspective, at least. The things that are running through my head now as I'm sort of processing this all as it's happening, like, how is this going to materialize? But we'll find out in the coming days. And I guess what's interesting about this, like, irrespective of this move, the Bulls are still entering into a 10-game stretch where 9 of their 10 games are on their road. The 5 games out of the trade deadline are super, super difficult. I mean, they've got a 4-game West Coast trip playing like Utah, Phoenix. I think they've got the Warriors in there. Who else is in there? The Spurs, of course, that's the other team. That's the first game out of the deadline. So, like, that's 4 tough games. Then you come home to play Brooklyn before going out on the road again for a 5-game trip against the Pacers, the Raptors, the Hawks, the Timberwolves, and the Grizzlies. Now, admittedly, like, that 5-game run isn't against super difficult competition. The Pacers didn't do anything at the deadline. The Raptors, while we thought they were going to trade Kyle Lowry, they didn't. But, you know, what does that mean for their season? The Timberwolves obviously aren't great. The Memphis Grizzlies, they're a comparable team to the Bulls, and the Hawks. The Hawks are a comparable team to the Bulls as well. So, you know, it's 5 road games, but essentially, 9 of the next 10 games are road games, somewhat harder than others, but this is a new team, effectively. It's going to take time for this team to get used to each other, get used to playing with each other with virtually no practice time. So I'm not necessarily convinced that these moves really impact this season that much. Like, I would expect the Bulls to stumble their way into a playing game anyway, but, like, them vaulting up from the 9th seed up to, like, 4 or 5, maybe, probably is not going to happen. Just due to the schedule, due to the fact that this is effectively a new team. But maybe it does. Maybe it does. We'll see, obviously, how it comes together. But the next 9 or 10 games are going to be very telling how Donovan, like I said, massages the rotation. It's going to be an interesting storyline. So if nothing else, it's certainly added some spice to the second half of this Bulls season, which that in itself I'm very thankful for, because this team, well, as previously constructed, where it was headed was, it was just such a malaise. Like, what were we doing? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's why I wanted to see some sort of deal. You all know what type of deals I wanted to see, and this is exactly what I wanted to see. So I'm very pleased that the Bulls have gone down this path. I'm not, like I said, I'm not super hopeful of what it means for this season, but I ultimately don't care. Like, this is a move set up for your next 2 to 3, 4 years down the road as to what this team may be. And you add Vucevic to LaVine, Patrick Williams still grows. Maybe you get Lonzo in the offseason. Maybe swinging on Troy Brown Jr., you found a player there. This can be a legitimate 50-win team. I don't know if they'll be that next season, let's say, but you know, over the next 2 to 3 years, they can build towards that. Now, again, there'll be some people listening to that thinking, well, that's not good enough. I want my team to be title or bust. We're the Chicago Bulls. We haven't won a championship in 20-odd years. I don't think like that. I just want to see good basketball. I want to see a good competitive team, a product that we can be happy to be supporting, a team that can get in the postseason and win basketball games. This team probably never wins a title. It probably never even gets to the Eastern Conference Finals. It can get to the second round a couple times. And to be honest with you, based on where this team was headed anyway, I think they have propelled them to their team forward. Clearly, a combination of LaVine, Kobe White, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter, like that, those young guys weren't going to get you past the first round in the playoffs. Maybe if you had some lottery luck with those guys, you could, but it wasn't going to happen. So I actually think the Bulls have made themselves better here in the short term, but I think from a, you know, over the next 5 or so years, the mid to long term look of this team, I think they've actually increased their likelihood of being a better playoff team as well. So all in all, I guess what I'm trying to say, Bulls fans, is I'm very pleased with how this deadline has progressed. I'm very thankful that AK sort of showed his hands here. He was always going to be a guy that you knew how he would be as an executive based on his actions, less so his words. He's a very coy guy, very keeps his cards close to his chest type thing. But based on what we're seeing now, the moves that he's made here, like, these are legit moves. The Bulls won every single move they've made today. So based on that data set, coupled with what we saw in the offseason with the acquisition of Billy Donovan, signing Garrett Temple, drafting Patrick Williams, plus the moves that we've seen on the deadline, like, they have all been wins for AK. So now the data set is sort of growing with AK. I'm feeling more confident. I've got more faith. And I'm confident about where this team is going forward. Again, I don't think there's a title team in this team as currently constructed, but I don't care. I don't care. With this team has 2 All-Stars now. They have some young talent still on this roster. I'm still very high on Patrick Williams. I think Troy Brown Jr. can be a player. You can go out and get someone like Lonzo, maybe in the off-season, and we're cooking. We're cooking. We've got a decent team here. And more importantly, there's a legit path now. Like, we don't have any concerns or questions as to where this team is going. We know what they're trying to do now. And just having that clear mind, that clear vision as to where things are going, that we're trying to maximize the prime of our best player, Zach LaVine, I'm happy. I'm happy. Everything I asked for, I've been given. So I'm very happy. I'm very happy right now, Bulls fans. I'm hoping that's coming across in this podcast, and I'm hoping you guys feel the same. But look, I don't know how much more I can wax poetic about this specific day, because like I said, I've been up for a number of hours. My brain is literally all over the place. I need to have a million more coffees if I'm trying to make it through my day. My work day hasn't even started yet. I'm not looking forward to that, to be honest with you. But what I will do to close out the show is I might take some of your questions. I did ask for some questions for this podcast, and you know, the reason I asked for questions was I was getting a million questions on Twitter online as to, you know, what I thought of this deal. You know, not to big up myself or sound like a complete wanker here, but I mean, things were moving so fast, so many mentions and notifications coming through that I didn't get to or see them all. I couldn't respond to them all. So I thought, you know, I'll address some of those questions that I did get through from Twitter on the podcast. So we can start here with a question here from Felipe C. from Brazil. Felipe, I appreciate you sending in your questions as always, mate. He asks, what do you think Wendell will amount to in his career going forward? I still somewhat believe in him, but if you had to put your money on it, I'd say career pack up big. And, you know, fair question, Felipe. I mean, everyone knows that I'm a Wendell stan. I still believe in Wendell. I'm sad to see him go, but, you know, if Wendell has to go to make this team better, then so be it. As to what I think his career is going to amount to, like, I still think he can be a good quality starter in this league. I don't think he's an all-star player. Can he be a guy that gets you, like, 14 points, 9 rebounds, and, you know, 3 assists and give you good defense? I think he can be that. I'm kind of disappointed that he's going to an Orlando, like I said, from the top. Like, that's not really a team that has a great track record of developing players, nor do they really have, like, much talent on that roster right now. Like, they're clearly rebuilding. Maybe if they could get someone like Cade Cunningham in this draft coming up, then that would be huge for someone like Wendell, like, his career arc. But they just have no point guards that you really have any interest of. I mean, Fultz is out for the year. Cole Anthony is just, you know, Kobe White 2.0. So I don't know if Wendell's going to necessarily make it in Orlando, but I am hopeful of him making it somewhere else. So, yeah, he will be a backup big at a minimum, but I still have some hopes for him being a legitimate starter in this league going forward. Like I said, I'm sad to see him go. I'll still be following Wendell wherever he goes. I still think he can be a player. And, you know, hopefully this is the thing Wendell needed. Clearly, he got moved to the bench because, you know, mentally he was just defeating himself. I'm hoping this trade, you know, kicks him in the ass in that sense, and he sort of finds his new self, his best self, whether it's in Orlando or elsewhere. But, you know, all the best to Wendell. I'll still be following him, and I hope his career elsewhere is as good as it can be and as good as what I think it can be. So, yeah, here's to hoping for Wendell. Next question in here. So this one comes in from Bleep Bop Bloop on Twitter. He asks, have you watched Aminu play recently? Because I know that I don't watch Magic games. Can he still play defense? And look, to be fair, Bleep Bop Bloop, I haven't watched a ton of Aminu, and a part of that is just due to the fact that the dude has been hurt and he hasn't necessarily played a lot in Orlando. Hasn't really worked out as a signing in Orlando. And to be fair, they just had a million power forwards and bigs, so he wasn't necessarily going to play much in Orlando. I mean, his offensive game, from what I've seen, is completely shot. Don't know if he has much left in the tank from a defensive standpoint. I don't think he's going to be playing much in Chicago. To be honest with you, he was sort of included in this deal as a trade piece, as a salary piece. He has $10 million left on his deal for next season, which I believe is guaranteed, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, I'm not expecting much from Aminu. I don't think he's going to be in the rotation. He's probably just going to be the latest salary filler that the Bulls have to take on. So I'm not expecting much from Aminu at all. Next question, in this one comes in from Renee Trossman. He asks, how much better do these trades actually make the Bulls? And like I alluded to, Renee, I'm not sure if this makes the team better this season, like that much better this season, just due to the fact that there's no practice time. We're going through a rough schedule here. These guys will have to learn how to play with each other. I don't know how much better it makes this team. I think they can get to maybe, you know, just under 500, let's say. But I think what this deal does set up is, you know, how good does this make the Bulls going forward? And like I said before, I think this can propel the Bulls into being a legit 50-win team, a 4 or 5 seed in the East, a team that, depending on matchups, can make the second round. Maybe if you squint hard enough, depending on matchups, maybe they can have one random Eastern Conference berth. But I don't know, like I said before, I made the comparison to the Nuggets before. Like, if the Bulls can be the Nuggets of the East, maybe they don't have clearly don't have a player like Nikola Jokic. Like, they don't have an MVP caliber type player, but the East also isn't the West. So, you know, a Denver Nuggets light, let's say, like, that could be a really good team in the Eastern Conference. So I'm confident that this team can eventually project to be a legitimate 50-win team for 3 or 4 seasons right here. I think that's what I was hoping for or asking for, and I think there's a path for that being the case. Next question, this one comes in from Brandon Rubble. He asks, I'm wondering how we'll upgrade the point guard position, if not now at the deadline, with Lowry as trade bait. He also goes on to say that most of the cap has now been used on Vooch and Aminu, and he assumes that they're going to guarantee the third contract. So he's not necessarily sure, or Brandon's not necessarily sure, how the Bulls are going to bring in Lonzo or someone like, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie. So it's a fair concern, Brandon, and I haven't done the math yet on the cap side of things. I have to update my cap sheet as to how this will all play out, but this deal doesn't necessarily mean that they guarantee Thad. Maybe they don't. I mean, Thad has a partial guarantee in his deal for $6 million, but if they bring him back, I think he's back for $13 or $14 million. So you could potentially save yourself $7, $8 million by, you know, saying goodbye to Thad. So you do have that scope to get some cap space. If you just let Lauri Markkanen walk, you gain $20 million because Lauri Markkanen's cap hold is $20.1 million. If you just decide to let him go to another team, maybe you don't get an asset back for him, which is maybe a shame. But at the same time, if losing Lauri, you generate cap space and you get in someone like Lonzo Ball with that cap space, then that's how you can do it. Again, I have to do the math to see who the guaranteed deals are, what the Bulls' ultimate cap position will be. But just off the top of my head, just thinking about it now, like Nikola Vucevic, and I should have mentioned this at the top, actually, like this is part of the reason why he's actually a really intriguing trade option. He has a descending deal. He's got 2 years left on his deal, but next year he's set to make $24 million. The year after that, his final year, he's set to make $22 million. Couple that with the fact that Zach LaVine next season is only making $19.5 million. Like, you're getting two All-Stars for effectively, like, just under $25 million. Or for an average of, say, like, $22 million over both of them. Like that in itself, like, production versus contract is insane value. But really, like, the main guaranteed contracts on the roster next season are going to be Vucevic, LaVine. Pair them up. That's what? $43-44 million. You've got Patrick Williams on there. He's going to be averaging about $7.5 million next season. Al-Farouq Aminu's money there, which is about $10 million. And then let's say Kobe White is back. Those five guys total up to about $67 million off the top of my head. You're going to have some cap holds. You're going to have some other guys that maybe you retain from the current roster. So maybe that number quickly climbs up towards $85 million, something like that, depending on what you do. You've got to add in the partial guarantees that you have for Thad and Sato. So yes, it's going to be tight. We'll see obviously what the Bulls can do with Lonzo if they do anything with all him. We'll see what the Bulls can do with Lonzo if they can do anything at all with Lonzo. But who knows? We'll see how the cap sort of plays out. Like I said, I have to do the math a little bit better than off the top of my head as I've done here, but there's still scope, I think, for it to happen. It's just maybe a little bit more difficult. It would have been more ideal to do it via trade, like trading Lonzo with for Lauri. Like, that would have been perfect, but it's not to be. So hopefully that still is in the cards going forward. To that point, I mean, I got a lot of questions about Lonzo, maybe questions around, Dinwiddie, someone like that as a point guard option as well. So I kind of feel like I've addressed that point within the body of this podcast and to Brandon's question there. So I think there's still scope for Lonzo to be a Bull. Obviously, teams like the Knicks now come into it from a free agency standpoint, so we have to see how it's all going to play out. But I'm still hopeful of Lonzo, potentially being a Bull down the line. And if it's not him, then we'll see who it is. But, ultimately, the Bulls still have work to do. The roster is far from complete. Like, they still need to be building towards this, but we'll see how it obviously plays out. I got a few other questions that I've probably answered through the body of this podcast. Like, for example, Jacob Bigshawn asks, why is Lauri still on the team? And, again, like, Jacob, I completely agree, mate. Like, this is the main takeaway I have from the deadline is, why is Lauri still here? Trade him. Get rid of him now because it just doesn't make sense. But obviously we can't. The deadline is gone. But yeah, I don't know. They clearly just didn't materialize. We'll see what happens. But I'm hopeful that they move on from him in the off season. It would be very weird to re-sign Lauri and bring him back now that you got Vooch. But obviously we'll see what happens. Patrick Williams' Stan account asks, are Zach and Vooch the Eastern Conference iteration of Jamal and Jokic? And again, I've sort of answered that Patrick Williams' Stan account, but I completely agree with you. I think they can be some sort of facsimile. Obviously not exactly the same. It's not a direct comparison. Jokic is like a top five NBA player at this point. MVP in my mind. He should be the MVP. So clearly, like, that is the key difference. Zach is obviously, in my mind at least, better than Murray. But yes, I think there is scope for that to be a similar type thing and, to model that after those guys. And I think Donovan is the kind of coach who can get the best out of someone like Vucevic. Obviously, AK has that connection between, that Jamal Jokic type thing. I think he has that in mind when he's building around someone like LaVine and Vucevic now. And to that point, Trevor Messicar asked me, it has to be playoffs or bust right now. Assuming they're winning the play-in or losing the first round, like, what would your ideal off-season moves be? And I've obviously spoke about Lonzo, but now it is about playoffs. Like, this is entirely about playoffs. Like, we can't make the comparisons to Jokic and Jamal Murray or being Nuggets East, let's say, without having the playoffs in mind. Like, that has to be the goal for this season, if you can make it there. They should be able to. I'm hopeful that they can. but definitely beyond this season, like that's what we're thinking about. Like, it's about playoffs. It's about trying to maximize your next 2 to 4 years and trying to be a legit playoff team during that time. So yes, like that is what the Bulls need to be doing. They need to be adding pieces. They need to be adding Lonzo. Like I said, maybe they get some lottery luck. Like if they don't make the playoffs this season, and maybe they're in the playoffs, they stay in the lottery, they get some lottery luck and, you know, jump up from 12th to 4th and retain that 4th pick, like that would be a game changer. Like, if you can keep the 4th pick whilst adding Vucevic, like, that would be sick, Bulls fans. Like, that's probably the best case scenario, to be honest with you. Like, maybe not getting in the playoffs, you get in the play-in, you don't necessarily make the playoffs from the play-in, you stay in the lottery, you get some extreme lottery luck, and that pick sort of jumps up in the top four, and because it's top four protected, if it stays in the top four, the Bulls keep that pick. Like, that probably is the best case scenario. You get Vucevic in and you get your pick back. Like, that would be an absolute steal. But obviously we'll see how it plays out. Look, I probably have to sign off here because, like I said, my brain is fried. I have no idea what I'm even thinking anymore. My mind is literally everywhere. I've been up way too long now. So apologies if I haven't got to your question, but look, this isn't going to be the last topic or the last podcast that we're talking about this specific topic. We'll have more podcasts coming out on Bulls HQ talking about the trade, talking about the team going forward, how obviously this team sort of projects going forward now that we, you know, once we get to see them on the court, what it looks like, all that sort of stuff. There's going to be so much more content now coming on Bulls HQ. And to be honest with you, like, from a Bulls content creator point of view, like, this kind of shit, like, this trading stuff, like, it infuses you to want to continue to podcast. Like, there's only so many times you can podcast about, you know, Kobe White sucks, Larry Markkanen sucks, Wendell, you know, he sucks too. Like, what is this team doing? They're not going anywhere. There's only so many times you can repeat yourself with the same crap over and over and over again. And I'm sure you guys are sick of listening to that. So the fact that the Bulls have actually done a deal, made some trades, if for no other reason else, just to make my life a lot easier as a podcaster, like, I'm thankful for that reason. But moreover, like, I think the moves that they've made today are just all wins, all absolute wins. Very happy with what AK has done here. Faith is restored, AK. You have a believer now in me. Not to say I was completely out on you, but I needed to see something by this deadline. That was always my drop dead date. I think it was justifiable for you making no moves in the off season. You clearly wanted to evaluate things. I was okay with that. It made sense to me, but I wanted to see moves by the deadline. If there were no moves after the deadline, I was going to be out. I couldn't imagine how you could retain all this, the same roster and just keep trudging along as if nothing was going to change. Like, that made no sense to me. But the fact that you've gone out and got a legit all-star, and look, I'll sign off on this. Like, AK in the last 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever the hell it is has made more moves in the last few hours to positively impact this roster from a winning standpoint than Garpak's made throughout their entire tenure. I mean, Garpak's made, what, like, 2 trades that positively impact this team from a winning standpoint? Like, the Selmans deal, Brad Miller and John Selmans, and maybe the Otto Porter deal? Like, are they the only two things? They're the only 2 trades that pop up in my mind where the team made an in-season trade that legitimately made the team better. That happened over, like, a 15-to-7-year span. Clearly, they made moves in off-seasons or through the draft that made the team better, but, like, just specifically through in-season trades, AK has pulled the trigger on more better deals in a few hours compared to what Paxson has done over, what, like I said, 15 to 17 years. Let's just call it 20 freaking years. That in itself is a reason to celebrate, Bulls fans. But moreover, like I said, all of these moves, they're wins in my eyes. But I'm very happy. I'm very happy with how it's all played out. I hope that has been communicated or resonated through my words through on this podcast. I'm hoping you are all feeling the same. It's a good day in my mind to be a Bulls fan, and hopefully that continues into the off season. And, you know, maybe we get Lonzo in the off season. I guess that's what we're all hoping for going forward. But look, that just about does it for today. Like I said, I'm going around in circles now. My mind is everywhere. I need a coffee. I need a lot of sleep. But no less, I appreciate everyone tuning in. I appreciate everyone's support following the podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. If you want to follow my takes on all things Bulls, it's going to be continuing. I probably won't be able to sleep, to be honest with you, because I'll be having this team on my mind too much. But if you, for whatever reason, you want to follow me online, if you're not already doing so, hit me up on Twitter at MK Hoops. Follow the show on Twitter too, at Bulls HQ Pod. If you want to send me an email, if you want to share your thoughts about this trade, I want to hear it. Like, send me an email, bullshqpod@gmail.com. If you want to be part of the Bulls HQ Discord, send me a DM on Twitter at MK Hoops. But again, we'll call it a day for now. Let's collect our thoughts. We'll walk away from this day feeling pretty damn good, because to me, it's an A-plus day. A lot of good deals. I'm feeling good about it. Could have been better. I would have liked to have seen Larry for Lonzo better. Yeah, it is what it is. But again, thank you for tuning in, Bulls fans. We'll be back very soon again talking about this trade, talking about the Bulls going forward. But until then, thank you, AK. Thank you. Speak soon, Bulls fans.
Amira Rose Davis, historian and co-host of the sports podcast Burn It All Down. And now I'm hosting the new season of American Prodigy, all about black girls in gymnastics. For the last 40 years, black gymnasts have moved from the margins to the core of the sport and changed gymnastics along the way. Now they tell their stories. You'll meet trailblazers like Diane Durham, superstars like Jordan Childs, and everyone in between. Listen to American Prodigies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.